This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm really excited about today's show. We've got a guest who's going to share a lot of tips and a lot of information that I know you're going to be able to walk away from this time together and implement immediately. So make sure that you've got a pen and paper and your favorite beverage so we can get started. I also want to remind you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and click on social media. Share your favorite tip, share your questions, and we'll make sure to get you the answers that you need. So I'm really excited about my guest on today's show. Her name is Jill Weisenberger, and we met Jill at a recent dietitian symposium, and her presentation was amazing. Jill's an internationally recognized nutrition expert, a registered dietitian nutritionist, and certified diabetes educator with more than 20 years of experience helping people eat more healthfully. Her practical approach to eating includes foods that both taste good and are good for you. She has a private practice in Newport News, Virginia, is a consultant to the food industry, and a contributor to a variety of health-related magazines and websites. She's also a fellow at the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, which is an honor only given to those who have made a significant contribution to the field of dietetics. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Jill about how you can eat more healthfully, even if you don't think you have the time. I know you'll find Jill's insights useful and motivating. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, thank you.
I'm really excited about our conversation today, and I'm actually excited. I've been reading your book, The Overworked Person's Guide to Better Nutrition, and I'm really excited for you to be able to share some of the tips and some of the things you've got in that. But before we get started, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and certified diabetes educator?
Sure. Well, both of those are amazing professions because they're both helping professions. And that's really what excites me, is helping the, you know, an individual where they are right now today and helping them move forward. So both as a registered dietitian nutritionist and as a certified diabetes educator, I get to do that. Now, registered dietitian nutritionist, I'll tell you a little bit about what that is and how you can become one. It requires a minimum of a bachelor's degree in nutrition science, so it's a science-based degree. I like to tell people that nutrition is not an opinion, nutrition is a science, so you want to get your nutrition information from somebody who is looking at the science of nutrition. And so after getting a minimum of a four-year degree, you'll do another several months, maybe 6 to 9 to 12 months of an internship, and then you take a national exam and you maintain your credentials every 5 years by doing continuing education. So there's a lot involved to it. It takes a good number of years to become a registered dietitian nutritionist, and this is actually my second profession. So I have a degree in communications, and I worked in marketing and sales before I went back to get my master's in nutrition, and I have to say it was one of the smartest decisions of my entire life. It's just been such a fun career. And now being a certified diabetes educator is also fascinating and fun. To be a certified diabetes educator, you have to have a certain number of hours, 1,000 hours of experience in helping people self-manage their disease of diabetes. And so you have to have some background in health as well. So a lot of us are registered dietitian nutritionists. Some are nurses, registered nurses. Others are doctors, pharmacists, exercise therapists, social workers, psychologists, and so forth. So there's people who are certified diabetes educators coming at it with various specialties, and that also makes it a lot of fun.
Well, I love the fact that you say it's science, not an opinion, because
yes.
We, on one of the recent interviews, we talked about how there's so much information out there, and it's really confusing for people to know, you know, what to believe, who to listen to, what actions to take, because it's so conflicting.
It is. It is. And part of that, you know, is the internet is the great equalizer. So this is good in so many ways that everybody has a voice. But when it comes to nutrition and health and diabetes management and disease management, we don't really want everybody to have an equal voice. And unfortunately, so people who are not qualified sound, you know, equal to somebody who is because of their access to the internet. So the internet is both a wonderful thing, and then it's also, it has that drawback.
I agree. And, you know, you'd think with all the information out there that everyone would be eating healthy, would be doing the right things, but we've got more, you know, diabetes and prediabetes, we've got more health challenges, and it's affecting people at a younger and younger age because there is so much out there that I think sometimes people just give up and just do whatever they want and figure it's hopeless.
I think a lot of people do think that. I agree with you. You know, there's a lot of different factors contributing to unhealthy lifestyles. So some of it is lack of knowledge, and some of it is confusing information, which you can equate to lack of knowledge because you don't know which to believe. But knowledge alone isn't enough to help somebody because, you know, our everyday lives are hard. And I know something that I've seen people do so much, it's just so common, it's confusing urgent with important. So there's a lot of demands on our time all throughout the day that we tend to these urgent things that may or may not even be important, and we forget about the things that truly are important that aren't so time critical, like taking care of our health and preparing meals and getting to the grocery store and making a menu and sitting down for a family dinner, that type of thing.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and that's why I love the tips that you have in your book. And matter of fact, confusing urgent and important is actually one of the things that you talk about, because
yes.
It is so important for people to really understand what they're doing it and why they're doing it.
Right, right. So, you know, every time the doorbell rings, every time the phone rings, every time my email flashes that I have a new message, I have this sense of urgency, but maybe it's really not urgent and I should really plow ahead on whatever it is on my schedule. Or sometimes we don't even put things on the schedule because we have so many urgent matters to take care of that we forget that maybe we wanted to take that class in healthy cooking. Maybe we wanted to sign up for tennis lessons, but we don't take the time to do it because there's always something that's urgent.
Absolutely. You know, I think a lot of people think that they're at a certain life stage or a certain age, and they're not really sure that they can benefit from eating healthier and taking care of themselves. What do you tell them when they say that they don't think it's going to make a difference?
Well, it will make a difference at almost any stage. You know, the goals change at different stages of our life. So, you know, babies, we want their nutrition for growth and development. But as people get older, they're looking at disease prevention or reversing disease, health maintenance, muscle maintenance, body composition. And then when they get older still, they're just looking at maintaining quality of life. You know, enough nutrition and strength to carry groceries in from the car or to get up from a chair comfortably. So, you know, this is from the beginning of birth, you know, all through life, good nutrition is going to benefit somebody. But I have heard several people, you know, many people really, in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, saying, well, what's the point now? I should have done this before. Well, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, it would have been better if you'd done it before, but let's start with today, because good nutrition is going to improve some aspect of your life no matter what stage you're in. So certainly we can improve blood pressure and cholesterol and glucose management and things like that with good nutrition and healthy living, not just good nutrition, but other healthy living factors as well. So we possibly can't undo all the damage that's been done in the past, but we can still improve moving forward. It's similar to smoking. So I would never say to somebody who smoked for 20 years, oh, well, you're doomed, so keep smoking. That, you know, that just doesn't make sense physiologically. It just doesn't work that way. So there's always something that we can do better.
Absolutely. Do you have an example of maybe a client or someone you've worked with that just made a simple change and saw a big impact in the results?
I have many, many examples like that. I'll tell you, one of my most fun things is when a patient says to me, I didn't know how lousy I felt till I started to feel better. And the interesting thing is that everybody who says that to me thinks that it's such a revelation, but I've heard it so many times that I almost expect to hear it from people. So I think people are used to this, like, low-level chronic fatigue or just kind of blah, and when they start to pay attention to their diet, even if, I don't mean making radical changes, but to start paying attention to their diet, it's amazing. Their energy level improves. So maybe they come to me for weight management or cholesterol lowering or cancer prevention or something like that. But they start making changes, and because they have a greater sense of energy, or maybe they're sleeping better, or, you know, any of those little things that they weren't even thinking about as a reason to come to see me, it motivates them more and more. So they make a little change, and they make another little change, and they make another little change. And then motivation is one of those funny things. You know, it goes up and down. So you need to remember that, you know, 6 months from now when your motivation's not as strong, but you know what? I feel so much better than I did, because I remember saying, I didn't know how lousy I felt till I started to feel better.
I love that. That's a great, and I hear that all the time too. And I think that's a big part of getting people just to try a few things, because you don't know what you don't know.
Right. And, you know, whenever you change something in your diet, you're really changing more than one thing. So, for example, when somebody says, okay, I'm going to stop eating highly processed packaged snacks like, you know, those peanut butter cheese crackers or something like that. So that's just one change. I'm not going to eat that anymore. But they're really making another change, because now they're snacking on a piece of fresh fruit, or they're snacking on vegetables and hummus, something like that. So they got the benefit of giving up something, and they're getting the benefit of these wholesome, health-boosting foods. So it's two things. It's awesome.
That's a really interesting way to think about that. We need to take a short break. And when we come back, I'd love to have you share your big why, what motivates you to help to live healthier and help people live healthier. And then I also want to talk about your book, The Overworked Person's Guide to Better Nutrition. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who's tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head into the world and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect, ideal clients to your door every day and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching their own course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot at www.createyouronlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createyouronlinecourse.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. We're talking today with Jill Weisenberger. And before the break, we were talking about an example, actually shared an example of people that she works with. And I love the fact that people say, I didn't know how lousy I felt until I started to feel better. And I think people forget how making just one change, and actually I love the way you say it, they're not ever making one change, because when you're giving one thing up, you're eating something new, so you're actually making multiple changes. So mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought about it that way. So thanks for shifting the way I think. I'd love to ask you, I'd like to ask my guests, what is your big why? It's something that we focus on when we talk to people. It's what has motivated you to live a healthier life and also help people live a healthier life?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what motivates me first, and that is that I have a zest for doing a lot of things. I want to travel. I want to go to theater. I like to experience new cities and new food in new cities. I have zero intention of spending my retirement in a lazy boy. And I had no intention of spending my retirement money on medical bills instead of spending it on traveling and other fun things. So that is my big picture plan. You know, it's off in my future that I think this way. But it really does remind me that I need to lift weights because I really like lifting weights. But it reminds me that I need to do that because I am not going to be injured and I'm not going to be infirm, and I'm going to have as much strength as possible so I can hike mountains and so forth. So that's one thing. The other thing is I really believe it's my responsibility to take care of my body. And, you know, I have one body, and how could I not take care of it? It just seems very, very irresponsible. It's not like we recycle and reuse, you know. You have to maintain it all the time. And for my patients, how I help them, you know, I really try to help them tap into their own motivations, because that's going to be different for every single person. But I get such a thrill out of seeing people make those changes. And it's not just the changes of behaviors, but it's the changes in their attitudes. I think that's probably the thing that excites me the most. When you kind of, it's almost visible when you can see that somebody finally gets that taking care of themselves isn't a negative thing, it's a positive thing. And that's one of the things that keeps me in that chair on that side of my desk in my office, is that I like really seeing people make that transition from I can't eat such and such because it's bad for me to I choose not to eat that very often because I want to be healthy. And there's a big difference in that, and it's a big difference in quality of life, I think.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, it always amazes me because we do only have one body, and yet our car, which we replace, I don't know how many times over a lifetime, often we take better care of that. I mean, we wouldn't think of putting regular fuel in a car that takes premium fuel, but yet we put so much into our body that's at such a level that's not good for it without even thinking about it. People take care of their possessions more than they take care of their body.
I think part of that is sometimes people don't have that sense of responsibility. But the other part of that is a car comes with a warning light, so then you have that sense of urgency. But we don't have that sense of urgency with our bodies often until it's too late. So don't we want people to have that sense of urgency long before they ever get heart disease, not when they get a heart attack?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great way to put it. And I think once people learn how they can feel, hopefully, then when they go back to eating, not eating as healthfully, they'll start to feel more lethargic and tired, and they'll realize that's kind of their warning light, that, mm-hmm. wait a minute, I need to shift because I know I can do so much more. I really, you know, am taking better care of my body when I'm eating those right foods. It doesn't mean you can't eat your favorite foods. It just means you want to do it much more thoughtfully and do it more as the exception versus the rule.
Right. The word thoughtfully is a very important word. I'm glad you used that. I often use the word mindfully, but thoughtfully is the exact same thing, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I try to teach people to make choices. So it's okay if you want to eat that brownie, but don't eat it because it's there. Eat it because you chose to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
a great way to think about it.
Yeah, so it's a thoughtful decision. You didn't just do it because it was there and your hand reached to it.
Mm-hmm. That's why oftentimes, you know, we like to keep some treats in the house, but we'll keep them in the outside freezer.
So yeah, that we have to. Thing.
We have to be very thoughtful and mindful about going out and getting it. It's not just sitting on the counter where it's easy to grab when you're walking
exactly.
by it. You have to be very intentional about what you're doing, and it really does make a big shift.
And I keep mine in the cabinet above the refrigerator that requires me to get a stool.
Mm.
So, you know, so if I kept I'm a chocolate lover, so if I kept chocolate in the pantry at eye level, you know, I go into my pantry several times a day, I'd be thinking chocolate several times a day. But like you, I keep it where it's not so obvious. I have to get a chair. I'm 5'2" when I stretch. I take advantage of the chair.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Can you tell us, how did you get the idea for your book, The Overworked Person's Guide to Better Nutrition?
Oh, okay. So that's actually easy. You know, with 20-some years of listening to patients and clients tell me that their greatest obstacle is time, and I knew I had so many solutions for them, and I thought, well, let's just put it in one little place where people can have it all in, you know, one handy little reference. But that's what it is. People would say to me, oh, I don't do such and such because I'm lazy. Well, I know they're not lazy. First of all, they made their appointment on time. They have a job and they raise a family. You know, I know they're not lazy. They just haven't figured out a way to make it work. And then it's like, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And it's like, well, yeah, you do have time for that. And let's try to see if that's what you want, then you have time for it. So let's try to figure out how to make it work. And that's really where it all came from, was listening to people call themselves lazy and then say it's because they didn't have time, they didn't have time, they didn't have time.
Well, it goes back to what we were talking about just a few minutes ago. It's really about choice. It's how mm-hmm. you choose to spend your time or what you choose to focus on. You know, we all have,
right.
you know, it's easy to do and it's easy not to do, so the choice is what
exactly.
makes all the difference.
Right. So I wrote the book such that it's written so it can be picked up and read just a few pages at a time. So people have time to read a few pages at a time. They may not have time to read a whole book, but they do have time to read a few pages at a time. So you can read it in any order. You could read it from cover to cover. You can look in the table of contents or the back of the book and find the things that are most pertinent to you. But that was an important part of the book to me, that if you had 5 minutes or 15 minutes once a day or once a week or once every now and then, you could pick it up, learn something. So there's emphasis mostly on the how to do something as opposed to the why. There's a little bit of the why in there, but busy people want to know how. So there's more emphasis on the how to do something. And it's bare bones scientific explanation. So just enough of that why so you have a sense for, you know, the importance of what you're doing. But like I said, it's mostly the emphasis on how to eat better, how to eat smaller portions, how to get more fish, not just eat more fish, and here's why to eat more fish, but here are some simple ways to get more fish, that type of thing.
Right. I love it because as I'm looking through the book, I mean, I love the get it fast tips. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just literally kind of going through it. And one of them is sneak ready to use shredded carrots between layers in your favorite lasagna. I hadn't actually thought of that. So really, they're really simple things that you can do to, you know, eat more healthfully and to really think about what you're doing.
Right, right. Now, think about how long I've been doing this. I've been, I guess, for 24 years. I've been a registered dietitian nutritionist for 24 years. And all the things that patients and clients have shared with me, some of my greatest tips didn't originate in my head. They, you know, they originated from the people I worked with. And so after all those years, I feel like I do have, you know, a lot of really useful, worthwhile information that can help people.
You absolutely do. And we're going to take another real quick break. And when we come back, I picked out a couple things that really stood out to me. You've got a section that's organization in your kitchen. And then I picked out a couple of my favorite tips. And I'd love to have you share a little bit more about that. And I'm just...
Sure.
Just a little teaser to people, so you want to make sure you come back. We're going to talk about eating less by eating more. I want you to think about that one. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking to Jill Weisenberger. She's the author of The Overworked Person's Guide to Better Nutrition. And before the break, we were really talking about choice and about choosing what you're going to do. And it really is easy to eat well, to take care of yourself, if you have the right information. And I love the fact that Jill combines science with what she shares. It's not just an opinion, it's science, but she keeps it really simple. And I'd like to have you share just a little bit, Jill, one of the sections in your book, well, it actually starts out in part one, it's organization for you and your kitchen. Do you have a couple things maybe that you could talk about either getting organized in the kitchen? And then also, one of the challenges people have is planning a menu and knowing where to start, especially, you know, they wait until it's dinner time and everyone's hungry and saying, what's to eat? And they don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I know. I deal with that on a very regular basis with my clients. But just to think about getting started, you know, you can't be expected to do a good job if you don't have good tools, right? So you want to have a good workspace. You want to have good tools. You want to have things that will support you. So when it comes to planning your meals and making healthful food, you want to think about how you can make your environment support your efforts. So if you have a very cluttered kitchen, is that going to get in your way? For most people, it will. So, you know, I want people to look at that. What can they do to support their efforts? And sometimes it's a matter of making your kitchen work in a smarter way. Excuse me, and having a greater workflow. So, you know, you don't really want to have a couple of measuring spoons in one drawer and a couple of measuring spoons on the other side of the kitchen and a measuring cup somewhere else and then your spatula somewhere else. So just think about how you can organize things. And I think that's a really important place to start if you're looking at the big picture of your kitchen. So, you know, corral-like things. So put all your measuring utensils together and do that in your pantry and do that in your refrigerator. So just as an example, if you make sandwiches for lunch for you or your kids on a regular basis, what can you do to make that as simple as possible? So one thing that I came up with is instead of having your sliced deli meat in one section of your refrigerator and the mustard in somewhere else and then the tomato slices somewhere else, whatever it is that you're putting, corral all those sandwich-making things in one plastic container, one bin, and yank it out, slap your sandwich together, and put it all back. No hunting through a messy refrigerator, no getting frustrated because you couldn't find the mustard or the mayonnaise or something like that. It just makes it more pleasant, and if it's more pleasant, you're more likely to do it. So it's a lot of things like that. And also, like, people automatically think, oh, well, my coffee maker needs to go on the counter. But what if you only drink coffee once a week or once every few weeks? Maybe that's not the best use for that space, and you could put something that's more helpful to you in that space and have your coffee maker something that you pull out from underneath the cabinet or out of your pantry or something like that for that once a week that you use it. So there are some tips in the book about how to get organized, but those are the basic thoughts. You know, put some thought process into that. How can you organize the kitchen that it makes sense for you?
I like that. I'm getting organized. I know one of the things that we do in our kitchen also is we have a number of different size bowls, because it used to be that if we wanted to eat something, you know, you pull out the one bowl, but we've really gotten good about thinking about portion size.
Yeah.
So if it really should be a small portion, we have some small bowls that are really easy to get to, because if you have a big bowl, you tend to fill it more and eat more.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
being very thoughtful about, you know, the portion size and what we're doing and getting those things organized too really helped us.
I agree with that, and I do the same thing. So I have a very pretty bowl that is my cereal bowl, and I have a very plain, small bowl that I would use for like a dessert, like an ice cream. And then I'll tell you what I eat my chocolate chips with, and that's a shot glass. And that's an idea I got from a patient years ago, maybe like 15 or more years ago. She told me that she uses a shot glass to measure out things like M&Ms and jelly beans. It's like, well, that's a great idea. So I bought pretty shot glasses just for that purpose.
Interesting. We have a whole bunch of those that we don't use them, but I don't like to get rid of them because they're things we've collected on trips and that. But that would be a great use for those.
It is. You just have to make sure that you know how big your shot glass is, because some of them can be pretty big. But I try to buy the smallest ones and the prettiest ones. And so I know if it's either an ounce or an ounce and a half shot glass, so I can get a feel for how many chocolate chips I pour in there.
Interesting. I like that. So you shared a little bit about getting the kitchen organized. How can people start and approach meal planning so that they've, you know, got ideas and they know, you know, what they're going to make and it's not such a struggle? So, because the easy solution is going out for fast food or calling for pizza or doing something like that or grabbing something that's not as healthy. So what suggestions do you have to get people started on thinking about meal planning?
Well, I have three meal planning tools in the book, and they range in type depending on the person's personality or the person's already previous abilities for meal planning. So I'll tell you the one that I use, and that's the one that is the least structured. I call it the mix and match meal planning tool. It's the least structured, and I think this one is good for me because I'm very skilled, but it may not be the best starting point for somebody who's never prepared meals before or never prepared menus before. But this, and I use it just for dinner, but you could do the same thing with any of the meals. So I just have seven blocks for entrees, seven blocks for starches, and seven blocks for non-starchy vegetables. And that way, when I'm planning my meals, I might think, okay, well, I'm going to make salmon one night, and I'm going to make black beans and rice one night, and I'll do white beans and kale stew one night, and so I'll fill up my entrees, and then I'll go into my starchy vegetables and think, okay, well, I want farro, and I want potato, and I want this, and I want that, and do the same thing for the non-starchy vegetables. So I know when I do my grocery shopping, I have everything I need, but I'm not tied to anything. I don't have to have the salmon with the green beans and the potatoes. I could have the salmon with the corn and the roasted broccoli. Because I can mix and match through those three sections of my meal planning tool. So I really like that because it has so much flexibility. But there are two others that I have in there, and one of them is very much just like a calendar where you just write out your whole meal, and you know what you're going to eat on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so forth. And then the third one is kind of a combination of the two, but you do plan your meals out, but it has a section in there for filling your plate, half of your plate with non-starchy vegetables. What will that be? Fill half your plate. The other half of your plate is split between lean protein and some sort of starch. So half your plate might be cauliflower and broccoli and fresh tomato slices, as an example, and then the other half might be a half a cup of boiled potatoes and a 3-ounce portion of chicken, something like that. But you get to do it yourself, you write it out, but you know you have that template for what a healthy meal is. So there's lots of tools, just depends on the personality and the desires. And once people get used to doing it, it becomes a lot easier. It's really pretty hard for some people in the beginning, but by continuing to do it, it gets much easier. But here is the key. You can't just randomly throw down meals on any of those meal planning tools. You have to look ahead at what is your week like. So if you know you're going to be home late on Tuesday, don't give yourself a meal. It takes a long time to prepare on Tuesday. You know, so you have to really look ahead. And then you also always have to have a backup plan. And that's the thing I think people forget, is having a backup plan, because maybe they didn't plan to get home late on Tuesday, but there was extra traffic. What are they going to do then? And in that case, it comes down to stocking your kitchen appropriately so that you can put together a quick meal. Or it could come down to takeout, but not just any takeout, healthier takeout. So I have a tip for that for people who are going to use takeout or stop at fast food or any place where they're tempted to get things that aren't so healthy. And that is to plan your menu in advance. So let's just say you might someday go to Chick-fil-A, Panera Bread, McDonald's, and Wendy's. If these are places that you might go, well, today or this weekend when you have some time, get online and look at their menus and pick out the three great options for each place. Put them on an index card or put them in your smartphone, write them in a notebook, take a picture of it with your smartphone, whatever, so you have that with you and you don't get there and look at the full menu. You get there and you look at your menu, the menu you created that's for suitable foods for you, and you know you pick from your own menu.
That's a great tip. We need to take our final break, and when we come back, I'd love to have you share a couple of my favorite tips in your book, number 19, which is reverse portions, eat less by eating more, and number 45, give yourself white space. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who's tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head into the world and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect, ideal clients to your door every day and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching their own course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot at www.createyouronlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createyouronlinecourse.com.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. This is Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jill Weisenberger, and we've had a great conversation. Before the break, if you missed any of it, you want to go back and listen to it. We talked about an organized kitchen and really cutting the clutter, and also Jill shared three tools that you can use to help get mealtime organized and help you plan ahead. So some great tips. And I want to take just a few minutes, Jill, and have you talk about a couple of the tips that really caught my attention as I was going through your book. The first one is tip number 19, reverse portions. Eat less by eating more.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, well, you know, nobody wants to be hungry, so I don't like to tell people, oh, you have to eat less food, because then that just automatically makes people worried that they're going to be hungry. And the other thing I never want to do is tell people they can't eat their favorite foods, because, I mean, come on, we have taste buds. We should enjoy our favorite foods, right? So one thing that you can do, though, is fill up on the lowest calorie foods. And good news is the lowest calorie foods do taste good, but they're also the most, you know, some of the most nutritious foods that we aren't eating enough of, and that's basically non-starchy vegetables and also fruits. So fill up on those. So that's your eating more part. So you can eat more of those things, and then you can be satisfied with smaller portions of the not-so-healthful but really delicious stuff that you crave. But what I really like to have people do is think about how can they reverse the portions of what they're eating to make a healthier plate or a healthier bowl. So, for example, instead of going and getting a large bowl of frozen yogurt or ice cream and putting a couple of berries on top, why not get a really big bowl of berries and put a dollop of frozen yogurt on top? So you're still enjoying the same foods that you would have, but you're getting it with much fewer calories and way more nutrition. So it's not just fewer calories, it's also way more nutrition. So all these health-boosting compounds that are going to keep us healthy as we age. We can do the same thing with any number of foods. You know, instead of strawberry shortcake, how about, you know, strawberries with a few crumbles of cake instead of the normal way that we would have it. So even things like lasagna. So we normally think of lasagna as very heavy in noodles and cheese and sometimes meat. Well, what can we do with that? How about replacing half of the noodles with thin slices of zucchini? So, you know, you slice the zucchini lengthwise and you make them thin. So half of your noodles can be that. And instead of all of that cheese, let's cut the cheese and add some broccoli or something like that. So I think one of the easiest things that we can do is take the same foods we already eat and love and tweak them to make them better, as opposed to thinking, well, okay, now I have to change my whole diet. Nobody wants to do that. And it's often not necessary anyway. It's usually not necessary.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of my favorite tools is a spiralizer. Because, you know, we like pasta, but what we realized is you can take zucchini and just, it looks like pasta noodles, and actually when you put a little bit of sauce on it, the consistency is very similar to pasta when you've just blanched it, and it's much, much healthier. So there's a lot of ways that you can shift and without feeling deprived and really enjoy a good, healthy meal.
Exactly, exactly. So we should be eating the foods that we like, but we can always pay attention to how we can do it better. And that's where I spend most of my time doing, really, with my patients, is helping them tweak their diet so it's not a painful change, but a very positive, enjoyable change.
Absolutely. And we also talk a lot about getting people to just read labels, read portion sizes, and look at the fat, the sugar, and the sodium in foods, because it's not just, it's not one, you know, over any of the others. It's really all of them, and just that awareness really makes a big difference. I was at an event last week, and someone had, you know, what they thought was really healthy yogurt. So I turned it over, and it was the fruit at the bottom. So we looked at it, and when we talked about the sugar in it, they were really surprised because they thought they had gotten a really healthy choice. Now, it's better than pastries and some things that you know, other options, but it's still, there were still more, a better choice that they could have made. They just didn't understand it until we had the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Labels are a little more confusing than they seem like they should be, unfortunately. I think it's because there's so much on the label. There's so much that's important, and I think we have a tendency to be minimalist, which in a lot of cases is great, and I embrace that and encourage it. But when it comes to food labels, we can't really be such minimalists. We have to look at the whole picture, not just one or two of those numbers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as we wind up our time together, I'd love to have you talk for just a minute or two on tip number 45, give yourself white space. That one really caught my attention. What do you mean by that?
You know, I'm not sure how many people know what white space is, but anybody who's ever worked in design knows what it is. And before I studied nutrition, I studied communications and I took advertising classes. So I understood that white space was that deliberate absence of content. So what makes an advertisement or any layout page look not cluttered? And in my life, ever since I learned this, and that was a long time ago, but in my life, I just noticed that I have to have that same kind of absence of clutter in order to succeed with my goals. Because if there's too much noise and too much clutter, too much, you know, clutter noise or physical clutter, there's just, it keeps me from being creative because my mind is wrapped around too many annoying things, or it just keeps me from meeting my goals because you only have so much energy. And if my energy is being sucked up by clutter, then it's harder for me to pay attention to healthy eating or exercise or whatever it is. So that's what I mean by white space. Give yourself purposeful emptiness. So some quiet time, some, you know, for me, you know, this is how you know that white space is something that you take advantage of and you could take advantage of it more. If you think, oh, my gosh, my best ideas come when I'm in the shower or my best ideas come when I'm on a long drive. Well, that is your white space. And so maybe you need to give yourself more of it because you can see that you're getting benefit by getting those best ideas, those creative ideas. So my white space, I go jogging nearly every morning, and I don't worry about how fast I'm going or how far I'm going or what I look like. I just go, and my mind comes up with the most interesting things, or I realize that I almost forgot to do something, so when I get home, I'll do that. Or, it just energizes me more. Having some emptiness energizes me more for the things that are important. So that's what I mean by white space, and I think all of us need that. There's too much noise, there's too much TV, too much phone, too much email, too many dogs are barking. So that's why my runs and my longer showers or long drives, long walks around the neighborhood, those types of things really help me. And I see that it helps other people too.
That's a great tip. And I'm going to ask our listeners to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and click on our social media link and share what they're going to do, what kind of purposeful emptiness they're going to create. So how are they going to create some white space in their life so that they can really focus on the things that are important? You know, you shared so much great information with us today. How can our listeners get more information about you and how can they order the book and just really get connected if they'd like to learn more?
Well, sure. The Overworked Person's Guide for Better Nutrition is available online bookstores like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and diabetes.org, any of those online bookstores. It's available in your local bookstore. You can find more information about me and my other books as well on my website, which is just my name. It's jillweisenberger.com. So as long as people can spell Weisenberger, they can find me. So it's Jill Weisenberger, WEISENBERGER.com. And I have a blog there and information about my other two books. My other two books are diabetes related. And of course, people can follow me on Twitter or Facebook. And on both of those, I'm Nutrition Jill. So those are a few ways to get in touch.
Perfect. And we will put a link to your website on our Eat Great Live Well radio page. And as we wrap up our time together, can you give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love?
I would start with planning meals because what I find is that most people don't do that. So plan your meals. Use any of the meal planning tools or anything else that works for you. And when you're planning these meals, think, more plants, less animals. So the more plant foods we eat, the more of those health-boosting phytochemicals we're getting. And animal foods are absolutely fine. I certainly don't mean to say that they're not, but I want the emphasis on the plant foods.
That's a great tip to end our time together. You've shared so much with us today. Thank you, Jill, for your time and for so generously sharing.
It's been my pleasure. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, this is a topic that I'm very passionate about. So until next week, remember that even small changes make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join us again next week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthy relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Click on social media. Be part of the conversation. Let us know what questions you have so we can address them in a future conversation. Also, go to eatgreatlivewell.com and learn more about how you can start making healthy choices and really taking control of your health and your life. Have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.